You're listening to VPR. Good afternoon. I'm Alex Keefe. With temperatures forecast to dip below zero tomorrow, you might be tempted to crank up the thermostat just a notch or two. But for many Vermonters, that small adjustment is a big financial burden. A new study from the Vermont Law School's Institute for Energy and the Environment says one in five Vermonters spends too much of their income on energy. It's called fuel poverty. And here to talk about the social and public health implications of this problem is Jonathan Teller Ellsberg. He's one of the study's authors. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you.
First off, what exactly do you mean when you say a fifth of Vermonters are fuel poor or they're living in fuel poverty? What are we talking about here?
Well, fuel poverty is defined as a situation where a household is spending more than 10% of its total annual income on household energy expenditures, so electricity, heating oil, propane, natural gas, wood, that sort of thing. It does not include spending on energy outside of the home, such as gasoline or diesel. And if the household is spending more than 10%, then we say they are in fuel poverty.
71,000 Vermonters, according to your report, were fuel poor in the year 2000. But by 2012, the report says it was more than double that. So why is this problem getting so much worse so quickly?
It's a combination of factors. One is that incomes, almost entirely across the board in Vermont, on average, have been stagnant over that time period. The amount of energy that households are using has changed not very much, but the prices for heating oil, propane, and natural gas, primarily those three, have gone up over that time period from 2000 to 2012.
When we have 20% of Vermonters, a lot of Vermonters, paying too much to heat their homes and cook their foods, tell us about some of the larger public health and social consequences that come with this.
When people are fuel poor, they are at greater risk for a variety of health problems, stroke, heart attack, asthma, pneumonia, influenza. And those risks, when you put them all together, lead to something that is called excess winter mortality, which is to say people are at a greater risk of dying. People do die in the winter because of the effects of fuel poverty.
And is this because, what, the homes are colder than they should be? Or what's causing the situation to get so extreme as to cause deaths?
It can be because the home is too cold. And, of course, the person who might actually get so bad off that they die from this is likely someone who has a severe health problem to begin with. And it is exacerbated by the fact that they may not be able to keep the home warm enough. Or it may be that they shift their spending to pay for more heating, and their home might be warm enough, but then they might not have enough money left over to get all the medicines that they need or to get enough nutrition. There's some research that shows fuel-poor households reducing their consumption of food by as much as 10% in wintertime in order to re-spend that money instead on heating.
10% less on food to spend money on keeping the house warm.
It's a pretty awful situation, you know, that anyone would have to be in to choose between having enough food, having enough heat, getting the medicine they need. It's a really significant problem.
So for Vermonters who hear this interview and they say, hey, I'm part of this group, I'm spending too much of my income on heating my house, cooking my food, what remedies are available to them right now?
There's the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP. A longer-term kind of help comes with weatherization assistance. The problem there is that the program is simply very much underfunded.
We have seen federal fuel assistance funding drop in the last couple of years. What should be done to help bring people out of fuel poverty?
If we can increase the support of the weatherization assistance program, that goes a very long way towards alleviating fuel poverty over the long run, because you are actually changing the house. Anyone who lives in that home will simply need to buy less fuel to keep it warm. You need money for that, whether that comes from Washington or whether it comes from Montpelier.
We've been talking with Jonathan Teller Ellsberg. He's a co-author of a new study on fuel poverty in the state of Vermont. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.